As we all know, the pastor a few months ago went through not one surgery, but two. But the Lord has him right back in the pulpit. And we thank you for the pastor coming forth right now to bring us the word of our, what, the gospel of the grace of God. It is time. Let's give the Lord a hand for as Pastor George D. Cutler to come forward now and give us the message, the gospel of the grace of God. Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Oh, gracious God, our Father, we thank you, Lord, for the essence of Christ, for the knowledge of Christ, for the presence of Christ, for the essence of knowing him, and in the power of his resurrection.
Amen.
The essence of knowing who we are, where we are.
Thank you.
Now, Father, as we go into our message this morning, we pray that every heart, according to your will, will be open. Every mind receptive to the essence of this glorious knowledge. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord, because you have turned the light of illumination and elucidation into our hearts that we can know and appreciate the glorious inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus. I ask, Lord, that you touch my body this morning that I might minister the word of God. And bless these lips of clay. Bless us in this hour as we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we again embark upon, I would call it part two, of where we started last week. And of course, we always have more material than time, so we're back today, and hopefully we can not finish this up. This will never be finished.
Amen.
But come to some point where we can have at least a regimental understanding and appreciation for who we are. The problem is God's people. Don't know who we are, and we cannot appreciate God like we should.
Amen.
Most of us basically resonate and relate to God as it is focused on our needs,
all right.
Yes.
All right. Our wants,
ours.
Our aspirations in time, and that's fine too. We pray you have the right to petition the Lord in relationship to the things that, amen, you need as you move and about each day in what we call life. Actually, we're in the matrix.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Most of us live in a macrocosm.
All right.
Macrocosm is that what's around me is all that exists. Amen. What's going on in my home, on my street, my neighborhood, and my local community and state, and then we expand out into what we call the world. And actually, this is not the world. Amen. We live on a little tiny dot called the earth.
Tiny.
I hear you.
That's not even one of the larger planets in our solar system. Solar, sun, the sun, which is a star. A star is an object that emits its own light from within. There are millions and billions of stars in our galaxy, which is called the Milky Way.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
There are billions and billions of galaxies or Milky Ways in the universe.
Yes.
Right.
And there are in the universe, as we look at all of this, according to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, all of this is in Christ. It doesn't even fill him up.
No.
Plenty of room left. So the question is, where are we? And so this morning we shall basically advance our dissertation in preparatory of our theme that speaks to where we are. Mm-hmm. Repeat after me, we are presently where?
In Christ.
In the heavenlies.
In Christ.
Next time we go through this, I want you to just spit it out. Because somebody asks you, where are you? So, well, I'm in my body and I'm here in this church, and I hope the preacher doesn't be too long today. But you, where you really are. Again, we are presently in the heavenlies.
In Christ.
That's where you really are.
Really, truly are. Mm-hmm.
Right now. Now, for those who are watching, and I thank God for all of the feedback and activity that was on our website this week, as well as YouTube, that have drawn the interest to where we actually are. Now, I won't be able to finalize this because this goes on and on and on into the eons. But for those who are watching or listening, if you go to our website, www.gracegospelministry.com or .org, there is the inscription there. We are presently in the heavenlies in Christ. You click on that and you will get the entire document.
Amen.
Some 10 pages that we have outlaid there. So that wherever we don't go, you go into it and dig it out. And it'll be worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we look around, we must understand that what we call life is really not life. Last week we had brought up analogy and we dealt with, as an analogy, the Wizard of Oz, Dorothy. She had an accident and was unconscious, laying in her bed, surrounded by loved ones, and safe, yet her conscience went to Oz, where there were many challenges.
Yes.
She interfaced many things. Some of them frightened her. Some of them disappointed her. Some of them puzzled her. Yet, she was not in Oz. She was in Kansas in bed. This is what we must understand concerning life. And again, Elder Liverman, amen, was the first one to bring Wizard of Oz up. But he didn't copyright it, so I'm going to use it. We are not in Oz.
Not.
We are not in the world as far as permanent dwellers.
All right, come on.
That's it.
All right.
What we call life in the world is really a matrix. It's a field of representations that are only. How did you put that, Ella? Sequential. Yeah, incremental. Sequential depictions. Mm-hmm. You didn't copyright that either, so. Using it. As we look at what we call life,
I'm birthed.
You're born. Then you are an infant. After that, a child. After that, an adolescent driving your parents crazy.
Adolescent.
A teenager scaring your parents to death. Now you're a young person, and hopefully you have learned some sense, and now you're on your own, and you'll get married. Well, get a job first. Finish school. And now it's payback time. Your children are going to do to you what you did to your parents.
That's right.
That's it.
Absolutely.
And if you stick around a while, your children will have children. Now you're like me. I'm a grandparent. Stick around a little longer. Your children will have children.
Yes,
now you're great-grand. But
sooner or later,
it's checkout time.
I hear you.
And what has this all been about? Someone once said to me, you know, life doesn't really make sense. You know, it makes sense in Christ.
Yes.
It may not make sense outside of Christ, but in Christ it makes all the sense.
Yes, it does.
It sure is.
Because what we call life is so quick. If we compare it with true life, which is eternal life. It's like taking a teaspoon and dropping it in the ocean.
Absolutely.
In comparison.
Absolutely.
So the real deal, as teenagers said some time ago when I was teaching them, the real deal, the real life, is what is real. And what I'm saying, so this is the real, when we were talking about in Christ. What we hope to espouse this morning is that you and I that belong to him are more in Christ in the heavenlies than we are in the body.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
In the body, we're temporary. In Christ, we're forever. As God's people understand this, it gives an enlightened meaning of what living is about. To know that whatever goes on, whatever happens or doesn't happen, how things happen. And many times we said things get out of hand. Nothing is out of hand.
Nothing.
In our pastor's pen, you're dealing with eternal consciousness in the matrix. That means you scripturally focus on what God has said, rather than what you think you see.
Glory to God.
And now you're really ready to live what life is really all about. Here's where it begins. In the Word of God. Each week we come here, and regardless of what's going on out there, we look to see what God is saying. Because all week we have been bombarded with what we see on personally and in the news media.
Yes.
And to counteract that, to give us hope. To give us peace.
Yeah, hallelujah.
To give us joy.
Yes.
That's right.
We focus on what God has said. Because what we see.
Yes.
Yes.
Doesn't give us any hope.
No.
I look at the little casinery. and the candidates. If you elect me, I will. All right, let's get behind our man. Someone asked me, who do you think will get in? Mm-hmm. My answer? Mm-hmm. According to God's will, who he has already put in.
Already.
For his purpose.
For his purpose. Yeah. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm.
I look at some of the our brethren, which we love very much. So-called evangelicals. We've got to get our man in. Got to get our man. Are you serious? If you in Christ, your man has always been in and cannot be put out. Let's go to the scripture. Who is that? Does it read? What are you looking for? All right. Everyone turn where we were last week, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Long introduction, but I reprise some things as a connector.
All right.
Last week, as we were in this passage, I said to you, and I said to you again, especially those that are watching, might not be familiar with our mode of ministry, is that basically we don't count on any of the translations.
Nope.
Someone asked me, which one do you use? I said, all of them. Mm-hmm. Which one do you count on? I said, none of them. Which one do you rely on? None of them.
None.
We also have what we call, and I'm taking the time to go through this. We have the Greek interlinear. Mm-hmm. Now, what we call the New Testament, which includes Paul's epistles, which is the Grace Testament, were originally written in Greek. Mm-hmm. In fact, the English language, as we speak, it is only some maybe 600-700 years old. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So all of the translations, more specifically the English translations, were gleaned by scholars who took the Greek copies, I should say, of the Greek manuscripts. No one has the autograph or the original. And so we take the same material that they had, so that we don't have to count up. Because if you notice, you go through them, sometimes they differ. Someone says, well, I like the way the NIV puts it. I like the way the Living Word puts it. No. I like to go into the Greek manuscripts.
Amen.
And do as they did. Now, we use the Greek interlinear simply because it has the Greek script in and under the English word. And so the preparer of this document, his feet are held closer to the fire. In other words, he can't go off on a tangent at a horizon. Now, but that said, we do read from the King James because that's the translation most of us are familiar with. So let's go back where we were, because we don't want to be like Dorothy, thinking we're in Oz when we're in Kansas in our bed safely. We want to know that we are safe. And that's what salvation means. Safe. Safety. Mm-hmm. Security.
Right, right. Amen.
If you really get to understand this, you will not live in fear and doubt. To say I'm safe means I am safe.
Safe.
Mm-hmm. If you're not safe, then what's the benefit of salvation?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
While I was out sick a year and a half, one of the books I wrote, was privileged to write, Salvation's Eternal Benefit. Mm-hmm. What's the benefit of saying you are saved if you're not safe? You might as well be out with the rest of the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Most of us, we think like them. Mm-hmm. We have the same fears as them.
As they have.
Same insecurities.
Mm-hmm.
Same depressions.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because we don't know where we are.
Hallelujah.
First of all, we don't know who we are.
Who we are.
So, well, who am I? Well, I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a grandfather. You know, who are you really? He said, well, I'm a pastor. Said, well, who are you really? You are a member of Christ's body.
Yes, amen.
And according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 and 5, you were chosen or placed into Christ's body before you were ever encapsulated in this physical body.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That's who you are.
That's.
And that's where you are.
Right now. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Thank you.
Then why am I going through all of this? God's will and purpose. We can experience sorrow so we can appreciate joy.
Absolutely.
Experience insecurity so that we can appreciate safety.
Hallelujah.
Experience hate so that we can appreciate love. That's the purpose of God.
Mm-hmm.
Placing you.
Placing us.
In this body.
Mm-hmm.
In this world.
In this world.
And on this planet.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
For his purpose.
His purpose.
Yes. Amen.
For his purpose. But we're not in ours.
Mm-hmm.
I'm using that analogy. We're in Kansas. Here. Ours would be analogous to the world of what we call the world of earth and the things that we go to each day.
Each day.
Kansas
would
be analogous to the fact that I'm safe and secure from all along because I'm in Christ. Oh, give him a praise this morning. Other than this comprehension, no, life doesn't make sense. The essence of this is that in this passage, Paul he compares in his juxtaposition his conscious in the matrix or in time with his abiding in the heavens in Christ. Now let's get this word heaven straight.
Come on.
It's not a place.
Not.
It's not a place. I said, heavenly places, and that's why we exegete.
Come on here.
Because the original manuscript doesn't mention a place.
No, it does not. It does not.
It mentions a venue.
Uh
a locale. That is not about a place.
Not.
It's about Christ. The heavenlies are in Christ.
I hear you.
You in Him. If you in the Creator, why are you focusing on what He created? Wouldn't it be more that if you're in the Creator, that's more than creation?
Absolutely.
Majority of Christendom teach that, I shouldn't say the majority, a good portion, I stand corrected, teach that it's the place that is described in Revelation. And if you ask the average person, well, has 12 gates, 3 on the east, 3 on the west, 3 on the south, 3 on the north. 12 gates. The streets are paved with gold. When you go to Revelation, it tells us it's a place, and it names the place, and it's called New Jerusalem. And it says that it comes down from heaven. It did not say heaven comes down from heaven. It's
it comes.
Comes down to earth. And many of us look at it as some place that we strive to enter. No. Mm-hmm. That we qualify to enter.
No.
I'm going to say this loud. No!
No.
You couldn't ever qualify.
Cannot.
To eternity dwell in Christ. But the motion doesn't move forward to heaven. According to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3.
Yes.
Blessed. High praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven blessed us with what? Each and every spiritual blessing. Where are they? In the heavenlies. Where are the heavenlies? In Christ. So we're not moving toward it. In consciousness, it's moving backwards to us. My conscience has not reached that frame yet.
Nope.
But it's there. You were in Christ before you were ever in your mother's womb. Before you were formed.
That's
Old Testament.
That's right.
David. In Psalms, in Jeremiah. Say he knew me.
He knew me.
In Hispanic language, that would be he foreknew me. Before I was ever formed. In my mother's womb.
That's right.
Well, how can he know you? Because before I'm formed, I don't exist. No.
Yeah.
We spent some 5 years.
Come on here.
Glory to God.
Teaching about, and there's a document that's on the website for those that are watching or listening. Scripture what?
Scripture
distinctions of what?
Actualization
by God's decree where in eternity from manifestation in time. God's word is what brings it into existence.
That's it.
And the only reason it exists is because God said it. Now what we see are reflected in manifestation of it.
Thank God. Amen. Yes.
If you are going to live a quality spiritual life, you are going to take God exactly at his word.
At his word.
At his word.
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't see it. You won't see it.
Mm-hmm.
God's word is through revelation.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And he gives it to those according to his will.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are picking up anything that we're saying here this morning, it's the Holy Spirit teaching you.
Absolutely.
I hear you.
Absolutely.
It's the Holy Spirit speaking to you.
I hear you.
Because only the Holy Spirit can give spiritual comprehension.
Yes.
Now last week, I know, long introduction this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. One of these days that we come here, you guys will let me preach about 4 or 5 hours and we can get through this. I love those looks. I do that for a fake. And I get me a fake all to do that too. No. I'm causing of the time and amen. At some time, if I don't get through this, hopefully we get through at least this one verse, which we have. We began last week in the mode of ministry called textual and natural. This is where you go into the text, and through the syntax, which is the grammar, you draw out the actual
semantics.
Semantics is the meaning. And so you let the text dictate the meaning.
That's it.
And how closely you adhere to that will determine what you draw out of it. Now, of the liberment. And everyone turn to Philippians 3:20. If you got it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, first from the King James.
Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 in the King James translation.
Mm-hmm.
For our conversation is in heaven.
Stop. That word conversation is loosely used there. The Greek word is proletama. Which means citizenship.
Citizenship. That's right.
And what he's saying is your citizenship, the place where you actually reside, is in the heavens.
In the heavens.
Dorothy lived in Kansas, didn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Well, everything I see is in the Matrix. Everything she saw was in Oz until she woke up.
Come on here.
And we're hoping this morning you'll spiritually wake up.
That's it. Amen.
And smell and enjoy the roses, so to speak.
Yes.
And enjoy and really give God the praise and thanksgiving.
Yes.
The actual Greek script in this, iman ga tu politama in uranis, which there is a verb joined to that, epaki. Uranis epaki, epaki. It's a verb, it's an indicative mood. I'm sure you got your Greek lexicon, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's in the what mood? Indicative mood.
Yes.
That means it's a fact. Epaki means what is at your disposal.
Mm-hmm.
Where your possessions, property, means and resources are.
Oh my God.
Is in the what tenth? Present tense.
Present tense.
Come on. You're looking at it. So all your stuff, none of your stuff is in the matrix. I got a lot of stuff. Then why don't you get to keep it? We even use that possessiveness when we talk about one another. My son, my daughter, my children, my husband, my spouse, as much as I love my wife. Mm-hmm. When we took those vows,
come on.
If I can remember, almost 50 years ago now.
Bring it out.
The minister said, until death separation.
Mm-hmm. That's what he said.
So ain't no use to you going to heaven.
Come on here.
To see my mother.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They thought Jesus was kind of frothed with them. Mm-hmm. And he said, behold your brother and your mother. He said, who is that? Who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Mm-hmm. Those all in the will of God. Mm-hmm. He was speaking about those in the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. We won't have the same relationship.
No.
That's it.
No.
Thank God.
So we don't really own each other. We're on loan to each other. What's the characteristic of a loan? At some point, what? You got to give it away. You got to give it up.
Glory to God.
But I said to you, as the scripture would back me up, the love that you have for one another in the body of Christ, no matter how much you love your relative,
doesn't matter.
We'll not be able to compare.
No comparison.
We will love each other in the body of Christ in proportion to the love that we have for Christ.
Hallelujah.
So no matter who I love here, I love Christ more.
That's right.
These relationships we have are temporary.
Temporary. All of them.
Salvation means your eternal relationship in Christ.
In Christ.
There are many that don't really spend much time in Paul's epistles, in his writings, because they're sort of like Peter. Peter said, Brother Paul talks about things that are hard to understand. So if I'm going to preach a sermon, I'm going to go back here in Exodus and take you through the Red Sea.
Red Sea.
Somewhere in Judges or Kings, and march around the walls of Jericho. Make the walls fall down.
Yeah.
And tell you, if you scream and holler loud enough, if you want it bad enough, it's going to happen. And we all get happy, and you walk out of these doors and fall flat on your face.
Amen.
Because whatever is before you tomorrow is already there.
It's already there.
Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11. What does it say?
Mm-hmm.
According to the ages. He designed, or made, or purposed everything.
Mm-hmm.
That means everything in the ages. Mm-hmm. Every event, every occasion, every thought, every incident. Pre-planned, pre-purposed, pre-assigned.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Amen.
Yes. You mean that stupid mistake I made? Yes.
That one.
I hear you.
Why did God allow me to make this stupid mistake? To remind you that you're depraved in these bodies. So that you don't think more than you should.
Yes.
I hear you.
About yourself.
Well, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. But where are we?
Glory.
According to the scripture, reading what I translating what I have just read, literally is for our citizenship. And possessions are in the heavenlies.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we are. Now let's go forth here. The next phrase there is ek u ke, which is translated out of, from, whence, aware, also. It's saying that we're not in these bodies looking to go to heaven. Uh-oh. We're in Christ awaiting the manifestation of the heavenlies.
Yes, glory.
In relationship to our conscience. Some time ago, I was at a home going, and when it came my opportunity to give some remarks, I spoke about that passage in Thessalonians, because every time we go to the cemetery, and I've given these brothers, I think, heads up on that, basically. They give the impression that there's a body in the ground that's going to rise up out of the ground. Be changed.
Yep. Oh, glory. Yep.
You've seen those pictures.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Some few years ago, when the person convinced a number of people that the world was coming to an end.
Oh.
Do you know where a lot of people went? They went to the cemetery.
Yeah. Sure,
to their loved one's grave.
Mm-hmm.
So that as I'm caught up, they will be raised up and we go up together. This verse dispels that.
Mm-hmm.
And in corroboration, and even collaboration,
mm-hmm.
2 Corinthians 5:1 speaks of what?
This
earthly house, as the King James put it,
mm-hmm.
of this tabernacle,
mm-hmm.
earthly house, the body, that belongs to physicality.
Amen.
And here you have what we call a subjunctive aorist. And most don't pick that up. Which you must translate it, maybe having been, what?
Destroyed.
King James said dissolved. No,
destroyed.
How is it destroyed?
Mm-hmm.
How everything else is in God's seeing. God has said it, so it's gone.
It's gone. Right now. It's gone. History.
But then it goes on as we look at this passage here.
Mm-hmm.
Out of whence also
mm-hmm.
it speaks of we have.
Present
what?
Indicative.
It's a present indicative. We have what? A building that belongs to God. What are you talking about? The body of Christ. Where is it?
Eternal.
Where? In the heavens. Where are the heavens? In Christ. That's what we really are. How do you know? Because this is what this is telling. In Christ. It goes on to say, and I'm going to give the actual reading for those that are listening, and if we have any Greek scholars out there, I want you to understand that here at the Grace Gospel Church, we utilize the modern Greek pronunciation rather than Erasmus. And I know Erasmus is more popular because it is used by the fraternities and sororities, and so is Alpha, not Alpha, and there is no B. It's not Beta, it's Vita. There is no D. It's Theta. All right? Go to our website, and we'll direct you to another website that brings out the case. All right, I said this in case someone don't bother writing me or saying it, pronouncing the words wrong. Amen. All right. Ex uke sotira apete kom mitha. Apete komata, it is a verb translated awaiting expectantly. Isn't what?
Present.
Present indicative. That means you are presently in the body of Christ waiting. Not somewhere soul sleeping. Not somewhere in purgatory. And that's why some songs we don't sing around here. Yeah, I'm the custodian of the souls. I'm the warden. You're not going up side the rough side of no mountain trying to make it anywhere. I'm hoping to get to heaven. Heaven is my reward. If Herman was on the basis of merit, not of us, it would be empty, unpopulated, except for Christ.
I hear you.
It says we are awaiting Kurion Isun Christon. That is the Lord Jesus Christ and the manifestation of that day in time, because there are no days in eternity.
None.
Amen.
When he shall bring us with him from the heavenlies in Christ.
That's it. Glory.
When he comes to the outer sphere of the earth, and those who are yet in the matrix, alive and remain, will be exchanged. And the scripture says, caught up. So that's where we are. And this is why when Paul writes, he says, in Romans chapter 6, in Ephesians chapter 2 and 6, in Colossians, that he sits on the right hand of the Father, which is the place of favor. Mm-hmm. And that's language for us to understand. It's the place of favor. But that we are co-raised with him. Or we are with him.
Glory.
It says we died with him. We were crucified with him.
Yes, we were.
Follow this now.
Glory. Yes.
We were co-raised with him.
With him.
That makes sense? No, it makes all the sense, because
yes,
in eternity you were placed in him and you've never been out of him.
In him. Thank God.
In him.
Someone said, well, then if you say that, then in the New Jerusalem, when Christ sits on the throne, will we be there with him? Can you separate the body from the head?
Oh, yeah.
You can separate this body from the head.
Yeah, this.
But can you separate the body of Christ from Christ?
No.
That's the guarantee of being in him. That you're never out of him.
Never.
You were in him before you were ever in this world. I'm going to run through this last verse here. And at some point, you continue to pray for me as I get my strength back. I'll be able to come back. I'm going to sit down. I see that worried look on my wife's face now. Read the 21st verse, Ephesians. I'm sorry, Philippians.
Greek, King James, man.
King James.
King James. Verse 21 in the King James text. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body?
See, that's why we exegete. I hear we've spent all this time telling you that we're already in Christ. And now this is telling us this is something we can look forward to. When the actual text is telling us it's something to look back to.
Back to.
I hear you.
Finish reading that in King James.
Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself?
See, let's go to the Greek.
Okay. Verse 21 in the interlinear
Greek. Just follow along. If you don't have the Greek interlinear, just follow along in your text. Read.
Interlinear Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
Who will change the body of the humiliation of us,
mm-hmm.
making it conform to the body of the glory of him, according to the operation of the to be able him even to subject to him all things.
Okay, now that the clock has beat me up and it's clinging on the time that I usually sit down. And plus, so that a few people around here stop worrying, I'm going to sit down in a minute. But I want to make 2 points here, and then I'm down. This is really not futuristic. It starts out with a verb in indicative mood, the verb metaklebatesi, which is, what is that verb, Deacon?
Future indicative.
What's indicative mood?
Fact.
A fact. So how you get a future fact? Because until it happens, it's not a fact. If God has said it, it's a fact.
It's a fact.
So even though we have not seen it, God has said it. And if he has said it, it's a fact. If it's a fact, it already exists.
Already. Yes. Amen. Yes.
Yes.
So these vile, humble, humiliating bodies is according to what Paul states in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, I think it is. We have. Mm-hmm.
We have. Yeah.
We have.
Yeah.
A building of God. Mm-hmm. We have because God has said it. No. The King James says, and I'm not picking on the King James, don't write me about that. Maybe having, maybe fashion, maybe take the same form as his. So it uses the Greek word semaphore. As though it is a verb. A verb is an action word. Semaphore is an adjective. It's an adjective. It means having the same form. So God has already said that we have the same form as Christ. He backs it up by the now and there you are, which is a now translated working. And the verb dynasty, which is an infinitive. What is an infinitive?
Verbal noun.
A verbal noun. It's translated capacity. And so what he's saying, as I go to my seat and we, I'm not through with this. We'll come back and we'll deal with this. What he's saying is that you are in the heavens in Christ according to the fact that God has said it.
That's it.
Not as a future event, but a future reality in conscious, but an actual reality in Christ. And as you understand this, your mind will transcend beyond the things that are around you and prioritize and focus
Yes.
on Christ.
Thank God.
You know what the job of ministering is? Let's go to the scripture for a second. Just for a second. No, we're not going to turn. What's that? Ephesians 4?
4 and around 12.
Yeah.
It says, and he gave to the church some what?
Apostles.
Apostles.
Prophets.
Evangelists.
Evangelists. And the teachers.
To tell you how to vote.
No.
To tell you you're going to get rich.
No.
No, what does it say?
For the edifying.
For the work.
Work of the ministry.
The same Greek word here. That the root word is ergon. Work. For the work of the ministry. What is the work of the ministry?
Edifying the body of Christ.
The building up, of the body of Christ. So our job is to minister this word, and through it the Holy Spirit gives you the priority of building up the body of Christ. How do I build up the body of Christ? I think on it. I focus on it. I count on it. Ooh, Lord. It's above everything and anything.
Jesus.
And the most precious thing there is.
Yes, sir.
Is in Christ. And so I'm not in time in this body. In ours. But I'm in Kansas. As analogous.
Glory.
To in Christ.
Sir.
In the heavens.
In the heavens.
Eternity.
Thank you, Jesus.
Someone said to me, I said to someone here that a friend of theirs said, your pastor is stuck in eternity. Guilty. Because that's the only hope you have is eternal.
That's it.
You see my hair? It used to be black. Ask my wife. Teeth falling out. And I was in college, I could run a couple of miles. My brother and I was at the mall yesterday. Let's take some exercise. We didn't even think about running.
That's right.
We walked.
That's right.
And the young people, just stick around.
That's it.
Just stick around a while.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I used to hear the old people talk about. But the old people, they were old. See, you old, until you reach that age, then you said, well, I don't like that word old. In another church, I used to hear Mother Chowning and some of the others. So, how you feeling, Mother? She said, oh, dear, I'm telling you, this is... I'm so old arthritis, and it's not. I couldn't relate to that. I can now.
Yes.
Just stick around.
Yes.
So your hope is an eternal hope.
It's eternal.
And the body of Christ is eternal. And so in understanding that and appreciating that, I think about the song the saints used to sing. That stuff they sing now in church, I don't know about that, but anyway. Whole.
Whole.
To God's unchanging hand.
Unchanging hand.
Oh. Says life is filled with swift transitions.
Yes.
And I'm paraphrasing now. There are trouble that we cannot withstand. That's I'm paraphrasing. Say, Bill. Can you say Bill? Can you say Bill? Your hope. Bill. Your hope. Bill. Your hope on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. I'll be back in a few weeks. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.